Welcome to Mrugashira, a podcast that communicates with communicators. It's brought to you in association with DigiTales. I'm Radharadhakrishnan. Let's begin. Our guest today has an impressive career journey and track record. She's a serial entrepreneur, having started several ventures. Most importantly, she's the CEO of Great Place to Work. I am in conversation with Yashaswini Ramaswamy. Hi Yashaswini, welcome to Mrugashira. Thanks for taking your time out to talk to us today.
Hi Radha, thank you. Thank you for having me over.
Now that the pandemic is behind us, right? Is it in a way that we are back to pre-pandemic work culture, or something has changed drastically that, you know, we will never be able to go back to those days? What has been your observation and specific to communication sector?
Great question to start off our dialogue. I don't think we will ever go back to the pre-pandemic times. You know, work structures like work from home were there earlier to the pandemic also. It's not as new as we're trying to talk about it, but the pace of adoption of technology and connectivity at the workplace, I think the pandemic has just accelerated that. So what we like to call it as a hybrid kind of model is here to stay, and that will certainly reflect on the communications that every organization would want to do, because, you know, language, communication and words are some of the most powerful tools we can utilize in not only a professional setting but a personal setting as well. And it is important to create a consistent company tone and use language that is inclusive of the diverse workforce that every organization is employing today. Because the pandemic has also made us very diverse, because our hiring pool is now becoming borderless, not only within India but across the globe. So we are all having to deal with talent that is diverse, that is multicultural, that belongs to different race, language, color, sexual orientation. So that's the world we will have to navigate henceforth.
From communication industry perspective, what has been, you know, your observation of diversity here in the sector, and how does that play a critical role in becoming a great workplace?
Let me share some data with you, right? And this is a McKinsey research that was recently published that said that, you know, racially and ethnically diverse companies outperform industry norms by a huge 35%. And you may have heard about Glassdoor, and they just released a survey which said, like, almost in today's world, 67% of job seekers have said that, you know, a diverse workforce is important for them when they're considering job offers, and almost a healthy 57% of employees think their company should be more diverse. So I don't think it is a topic anymore of summits and conferences. It is becoming a societal dialogue, if I may say so, and that will affect every industry, and I think the communications industry is no different. You see, communication has the ability to also trigger or elicit uneasy responses when it is not done in a respectful and comfortable manner. Your employees, I mean, I can't stress enough the investments that companies have to make into communications, right? Because your employees can feel that they're being undervalued or trivialized or judged or stereotyped or even excluded when the language and the words aren't inclusive. So as we're trying to navigate these times, communications has to become center stage, because look, we are navigating a workforce as a people manager today. You know, a good percentage of the team is not going to report to work in office, whereas there will be a section of the people whom I will be meeting face to face. So language, connectivity, belongingness, all is center stage, and we've begun the journey, but I think it's a long road to travel for all of us.
That's interesting. And also at Praxis, you were talking about, you know, your talk was also about equity and equality, and you know, how often one doesn't sort of strike a balance between the two. So can you just explain more about this?
I mean, just to help our you know, our listeners understand, or maybe they already know, there is a difference between these terms, equality and equity, right?
Yeah.
Equality, in very simple words, is, let's say I order t-shirts, black color t-shirts, small size for everybody. I can say, look, I'm being equal, right? Everybody gets an equal sized t-shirt, but does it really fit everybody? And equity is about making that extra effort to ensure that everybody gets the color they want, the size they want. So when I'm talking about the need for equity in the workplace, what I'm actually stressing on is for the business leaders to be very mindful about the people practices that they are created in the post-pandemic world with the lens of equity. How do you treat an employee who is in an essential service, say power, energy? They had to report to work every single day. They did not have the luxury of working from home.
Yep.
Right? So, of course, we cannot treat all our employees the same way because their work environments, their business challenges have become different, and some of them very visibly. So gone are the times where traditional practices on compensation, on benefits, on allowances will work. They're not going to work anymore because the environments have changed. So I think looking or re-looking at some of the practices that we have around employee engagement has to be from the lens of, are we driving equity in a responsible manner?
Is it that in all the surveys of you know, Great Place to Work, is it that usually it is easier for services industry to create such an environment, whereas the conventional or the traditional organizations that also have a manufacturing setup or something else, it becomes difficult for them to across the board create a great place to work kind of a work culture?
Look, I think not necessarily manufacturing and services, rather. I think while that's true, and of course that's a perspective that a lot of us have our conversations on, I think the lens we need to see this is from how close we are in the value chain of customer engagement. Right? So if you talk about, say, the services sector, and let's say you are in work that needs to do reconciliation at the end of the day, right? It's a back-end process.
Yeah.
So those kind of jobs, you know, we're actually seeing some of the organizations announce a permanent work from home. Mm-hmm. Because necessarily, you know, the office is not adding value, and I think that has changed, right? The office as a place of work has been discussed very differently than the pre-pandemic time. So now when you're doing role segregation, a lot of us are asking the question saying, does a physical presence add value to that job role? So if I'm in a role that gives me the luxury of a turnaround time, and I really don't have to be innovating every day, you know, coming up with solutions every day, etc., I can afford a work from home. But if I'm in an environment that needs me to be at office, to be in front of the customer, to meet the customer, to innovate products, I have to turn up to work. So I think we're going to be seeing three very different models. One type of business is where there will be a permanent work from home. The second will be the other extreme, where a lot of the businesses will call back their employees mandatorily to report back to work. And the third type, where they're actually trying to see, and these are typically large multinational organizations where there are, you know, the job architecture is very, very different and multi-layered. They would be the ones who would really be focusing on what kind of job roles can work from home, what are those roles that need to come into office for a couple of days a week, and what are those roles that have to report back to work. So I'm saying that they're going to be all these three types of work environments that will be emerging. And in this, how do we sustain a language of inclusion will be very important for us to deliberate.
But when you're talking about this kind of segregation, what happens to, you know, the all important human interaction? Like, you know, there is a set of employees who are working from home. So how does one strike a balance by taking some jobs, you know, sort of completely remote?
I think, you see, what we call as FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. That's the human psychology. And in fact, studies have now even started of how does one review performance of an employee that you really don't meet physically every day, vis-a-vis, you know, somebody who reports to office. You sit down, you go have a cup of coffee, and you have that. And interestingly, and this is still under study, but some of the variance of scores is as high as 8%.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for us going forward, if there is a hashtag I need to talk about, it will be hashtag intentional collaboration. I think we have to make that extra effort. Look, I think for us the problems have just begun. Pre-pandemic, everybody was at work, and during the pandemic, you know, everybody became virtual where they could, right? It's only now that we have to make that extra effort to intentionally collaborate between different groups of employees. So for me, I would track, in addition to employee engagement, a metric called belongingness. Do I still feel that I belong to this team? You know, do I belong to this company? And that metric will be important for us to track. And there has to be more support given to people managers, because their jobs have become tougher. They have to ensure productivity, they have to ensure engagement, goodwill, manage performance, all in a multi-layered work environment, right? So I think the need of the hour is for us to create those support structures around people managers today.
But now with this kind of a complex organizational structure, you know, talent management, attrition, etc., internal communication will probably become more important and probably become more aggressive, and B, communication per se and the complexity of that increases. So how do you see that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the simple answer would be yes. But really the question is, how do you communicate with diversity, right? So in the workplace, it's all about creating an environment of inclusiveness, which I think nobody is debating anymore as to do you really need it. Everybody acknowledges that it's here to stay, and we need to do it well. So it's all about creating an environment of inclusiveness where every employee feels like they're welcomed, valued, and that they have the power to be their true self. Because the millennials and the alpha, the generation alpha, for them, you know, they're looking at jobs and careers very differently.
Yeah.
Than a Gen X. So for them, it's all about being authentic. You know, so authentic leadership is becoming center stage, and you know, I borrow it from Hubert, who says that if you really want to communicate and practice authentic leadership, just remember this formula. It is honesty, because you have to be honest at the table, minus self-righteousness, because we don't know. I mean, we don't know what we still don't know. We're all trying to evolve together, right? So honesty minus self-righteousness plus vulnerability. Yeah. I mean, your ability to get people on the table and say, guys, let's figure it out together. I don't have the answers to everything. And I think authentic leadership and authentic communication, that is becoming center stage. So organizations will need to create an inclusive atmosphere to ensure that every individual within the organization, from top to the bottom, are treated equally, respectfully, regardless of their differences. And communication teams need to take a mindful approach to the language, to the visuals, and even, you know, their decisions around their channels of communication for the audience that they're targeting. It's the same brushstroke is not going to work for everyone anymore.
You know, there are several new age PR agencies and digital marketing companies that have been coming up in the last few years. How can they start looking at being a great place to work, either right from the start? How can they make that part of their culture?
I think great workplace cultures is a journey. Mm-hmm. It's not a destination, and it's all about nurturing it from day one. I don't think there is a particular point to say, now that we're so many employees or now that the business is mature, we need to take a look at culture. I think fundamentals of culture have to be set in from day one, and that means valuing differences, that means respecting different generations of workforce that are working within the organization, because your clientele is diverse, right? And they are multi-generational, and a lot of businesses in India, and thereby the clients of communication companies, they're still family run, and the next generation always has a very, very different perspective to how the previous generation ran things. So if you really want to partner and be a trusted partner of your client, you have to practice it at home. It begins with you, and it begins today. And it's all about having a mindset. If I were to put it very simply, rather, it is, as a leader, if I'm able to communicate that there should not be any real fear of failure.
Yeah.
That for me is the cornerstone, because if my employee does not have a real sense of fear to fail, it does so many things beautifully. It allows them to experiment. It allows them to share. It allows them to be bold. It allows them to take risks. And all of these behaviors are fundamental to being an innovative company that wants to grow rapidly. So I think I would really encourage people to create that kind of a work culture where there is a mindful communication, where you're supportive and your employees feel encouraged to do all of these things.
Great, it was a pleasure talking to you, Yashaswini. Thanks for making time to talk to us.
So I wish you personally all the very best, and I hope you're able to get more meaningful and purposeful voices to this podcast series of yours.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hope you enjoy listening to Vrubishra, a podcast for communication folks. Do share your suggestions and feedback on mrugashira@digitales.co.in. Have a great week ahead and do not forget to tune in next week.